Time to get on board the G&M Family Market phone line right now and talk a little Major League Baseball as we welcome back to the program Jay Jaffe of Sports Illustrated and SI.com. Jay, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks. Good to be back.
Let's talk about this god-awful, ugly Red Sox-Orioles series. Thank you for pointing out nationally what we've been looking at here in New England. You outlined five ways that this has really been the worst of baseball. Can you give a little detail?
Sure. You know, I mean, I think number one is just the beanball war. I think that's like really the, you know, this obviously this started with a bad slide by Manny Machado that actually knocked Dustin Pedroia out of the lineup for a few days. Injured stars was number one on my list. But really, I mean, my real distaste is for the beanball war here. Obviously, you've got not just the actual plunking of Mookie Betts the other night by Dylan Bundy, which was in question. It didn't really make sense in context that he got hit. But you've got Matt Barnes going up and in on Manny Machado and not getting and getting ejected. You've got Chris Sale taking a shot at Machado and throwing behind him, not getting ejected. And then you've got Kevin Gausman getting ejected for a curveball into Xander Bogaerts and, you know, calling into question just what the umps are doing. Obviously, that's no good in a lot of ways. You've got Machado at the center of another controversy that he has done his part in escalating. This is unfortunately not the first time this has happened. I think of the bat-throwing incident in 2014 that was not good. You've got Major League Baseball having a tepid response, which is problematic. And then you've got, of course, the Adam Jones incident, which is just a black eye for baseball. No pun intended at all there. I mean, just absolutely a horrific experience for any athlete to have to go through, any person to have to go through. And just, unfortunately, that it happened to somebody who's been an eloquent spokesman for issues of race in baseball, I think, and, you know, in a city that unfortunately has had its issues with dealing with athletes of color. It's even worse.
Well, and absolutely, and then compounded from what I've seen here in New England by a smattering of yahoos online who are, I guess, in this case, denying that the whole thing happened, which is even more ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to your Adam Jones isn't out there with a high definition camera. If he heard it, I believe him. Especially when you've got CeCe Sabathia and David Price and other African American baseball players corroborating that with their own stories of experience, and you know, not all of them are as comfortable with speaking up about it. You know, Jones, to his credit, was willing to do that. So, I can't stand that there are people out there, you know, who are denying this, and you know, invariably, there's just a level of insensitivity there that does not speak well of them.
And the whole beanball thing exacerbated by what seems to be some, I guess, confusion in these changing times over what those unwritten baseball rules, the etiquette of baseball, and nobody seems to know exactly what to do.
Yeah, this has been an ongoing thing, and I think we've seen it highlighted a lot with regards to the celebration aspect of the game. This, you know, this sort of cultural divide, you know, bat flipping and fist pumping and other celebrations, and you know, whether that means a guy should have to wear one the next time up or whatever, and you know, people hearkening back to the days of Bob Gibson or Don Drysdale, you know, knocking a hitter on his butt for showing him up, and you know, the way that the baseball unfortunately, it's kind of stuck in this mentality that's 50 years old and that really isn't applicable anymore. It's not an easy thing. I mean, the players are not Fabergé eggs. But, you know, at a time when baseball has taken great pains to protect catchers and middle infielders from unnecessary contact, has instituted concussion protocols, you know, has done things to generally protect players, for them not to address this beanball war situation more forcefully, I think it stands out. I mean, hockey trying to eliminate fights, things like that. I mean, we're just, you know, we can fix these games without, you know, taking away their soul. I don't think losing a beanball war detracts from what it is we actually watch baseball for. But, you know, that said, it's not easy because, the players use these things use these methods to self-police, and it's tough if you take that away from them. You know, where is this going to happen? Is there going to be a fight on the base paths? I don't know. It's not an easy thing to solve, and unfortunately, what we've got here, you know, Rob Manfred can't fix this alone. He needs a buy-in from the players' union to do it. You know, they need to agree on longer suspensions or, you know, or other kinds of sanctions in order for this to, you know, to work.
We're talking with Jay Jaffe here on Downtown. Jay, you wrote a really interesting piece about the Mets and their efforts to try and keep those aces healthy, and it's not working out very well for them.
Yeah, unfortunately, they handled the Noah Syndergaard situation very poorly. When you've got this new 10-day disabled list, you know, you should be, you know, basically what it amounts to is you can skip a turn for a starter. He makes a start on day zero. You know, he misses his start on day five. You push back his other start to day 11. You know, you really haven't cost yourself anything. And now, if a player's got an arm injury, even a minor one, and Syndergaard was said not to be able to lift his arm above his head 2 days before he was scratched from his start, and 5 days before the actual injury, it seems like a no-brainer that you should just put him on the 10-day DL retroactively, let him rest, and you know, bring him back into the rotation. You'd be at one spot start for a minor leaguer, you know, and hopefully that solves the problem. They didn't do that. Syndergaard comes out amped up and now has put himself in a situation where he's going to be out 3 months. You know, people want to bemoan the situation. I mean, that's obviously not well managed, but people want to bemoan the fact that the Mets have these, you know, quote-unquote five aces that they can't keep healthy, you know, as if that's a fault of the organization. I don't think it's really that. I mean, they've had some bad luck with those guys, Matt Harvey, Steven Matz, you know, in the past. But I think, you know, the reason you try to stockpile five aces is that you hope that three of them are healthy at any time, and that can help you win, because it's impossible to keep any five pitchers healthy at any given time, given the stresses on them.
Is the best story of this young season the hitting of Eric Thames?
It's one of them. I mean, you know, he's cooled off since he got to home run number 11, but he's been a great story so far. He was one of my April All-Stars. I think if I was choosing that team today, though, he'd get some competition from Ryan Zimmerman, who is now in a position where if the season ended today, he would win a triple crown. I don't want the season end today, though. what would we do with ourselves for the next 4 months?
Exactly.
I mean, that'd be awkward. You know, those are two guys. You know, Zimmerman just had a dreadful season last year. Thames, of course, was in Korea for 3 years. Didn't really get a strong foothold in the major leagues before going over. Those are two of my favorite stories so far.
We're just a little over a month away, right, from the release of the Cooperstown casebook.
We're inside of 3 months. The publication date was pushed back from June to July, so it's coming out the week of inductions, July 25th. I am getting galleys out to people now and some advanced copies, and hopefully we'll get you one here in the not-too-distant future, but it's very exciting. We're going to announce who's doing the forward, which is a nice big name, and, you know, so I've got some wonderful things that my fellow writers have said that are coming in as blurbs right now. It's flattering to see that, so it's getting me excited about this. This book has seemed so abstract for 3 years, and now it's suddenly becoming very tangible.
Well, can't wait to see it. And as we look ahead to the next class, who are the names to keep an eye on for 2018?
The big ones are Chipper Jones, who I think is going to be a slam dunk first ballot guy. Jim Thome, who's probably got a pretty good chance of getting in on the first ballot, given he's got 600 home runs and thankfully no PED allegations to his name. You've also got Andrew Jones and Scott Rolen, who both have a ton of gold gloves and some strong cases on the advanced metrics front, maybe a little bit lacking on the traditional statistics front because they generally they retired around age 35 or 36. So they might have an uphill battle, but they're two good candidates. Also, Omar Vizquel, very popular player, not one by my system who does very well, but a lot of people really like him. Certainly an entertaining player and a part of some very good teams for a long time.
Jay, we always like to get a beer recommendation from you. What have you enjoyed recently?
Oh, boy. Let me think for a second. There's a brewery called Threes here in Brooklyn opened a couple of years ago, and they do the Northeast IPA style, kind of the fruity, unfiltered style that's become so popular up and down. I'm sure you've had some as well here. Mm-hmm. But they've got one that I really like a lot called Unreliable Narrator that I've really been enjoying. It's kind of a bit of a pineapple and mango and citrus notes to it, but a good bit of IPA bitterness as well, and just very refreshing.
That sounds great. Now, does Robin have a favorite team yet?
She'll watch whatever team is on. I mean, I don't think we want to force any team on her immediately. But she watches baseball when, we can't count baseball as screen time for her because mommy and daddy both work at this and we have to watch a certain amount of baseball. So, it's fun to see, when she's got her eye on the game. We'll let her choose her team. Then.
There you go. Excellent. Jay, it's always great talking with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon. We'll do it again soon. Good luck finishing up and getting the book out to everybody.
Thank you, Rich. Take care.